Starting a new life in a different country is a huge challenge. There's a new language, new food, different attitudes. It can make you feel very lonely, and it can take a long time to change that. Now imagine doing that on your own, without any friends or family. That's what happened to Ajak Kwai, a South Sudanese broadcaster and performer who travelled from Egypt and found herself in Tasmania. Ajak Kwai, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much, Hilary.
Tell us what it was like first setting foot in Tasmania after the places that you'd left behind.
Wow. Where do I begin? It was really very interesting. Tasmania, actually my first word, I said, where are the people? Because I came from Egypt, were very crowded, and then come to Tasmania in July. It was a shock for me. It was so cold. And there were no people to be seen. And I was put in a little room, a granny flat, in a place called Rosetta. And there was a big fence, you know, very dark, and I was very scared.
And you found some comfort in the landscape. Tell us why that was so.
You know, after a while, Tasmania actually is grounded me to here in Australia, because I had a beautiful memories of South Sudan, a beautiful country, and coming to Tasmania was so beautiful, and see Mount Wellington. It's similar to, not that big, but where I was growing up, there was a little mountain we used to play under, and that was a big comfort to me. And see the Dawe River, it was really like, I just imagined it like a river Nile.
And like the Nile?
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
And because it's not that big, and so that was my comfort, actually, before anything. Yeah.
And Ajak, tell us how you came to be arriving in Australia alone. Where were your friends and family?
Well, I suffered with my family for a long time. You know, I went to Egypt. We went to Khartoum with my relative, and then everyone just went on their own way. And we end up in Khartoum, then I end up in Egypt. Went to college, Seventh-day Adventist boarding school. And then after that, we couldn't go anywhere because everyone left South Sudan or Sudan. It was just a chaos. So I end up in Egypt, and I wanted to leave Egypt. And then I end up in Tasmania. So,
how did you start to build a new network of friends and supports in Tasmania?
It was a challenge, but if it was now, as I get older, I wouldn't be able to make it. But you imagine 20 years ago, it was just like, you know, I was very driven. I was very, absolutely, I want to take it in one, I want to do that and that. And I was just open, absolutely. I brought my African spirit, you know, happy, everything is absolutely beautiful. And so that attitude helped me to connect with people, and it didn't take me a long time before I helped my community to take the people to the hospital, volunteer at TAFE, where I used to learn English. And so I connect with people, and then the music came in, and yeah.
Music sounds like it was a huge part of building this sense of community, but also staying connected to your culture. Tell us how that worked for you.
Well, you know, my culture is a part of me. You know, you can't change that. You have to add some more into your culture. But, you know, it will never go away. So my culture, it's music connected me with my culture, and sometimes food, a little bit of food, and which is not really necessarily Sudanese food. But that was like, you know, if you want to do it in your own way, you do it. And gathering together, that was a big comfort for us. And so I never let my culture go, because... And then again, I live in Australia. I had to go back in my mind to combine the two, and so music was a big thing. in my, yeah.
It sounds like the food was a bit of a mixed blessing at the start.
Yeah, actually, when I first arrived, the food was a challenge. Actually, I lost weight for last 3 months. I couldn't eat. I don't know what to eat. Everything was just like a mud.
Like mud. Oh, that's terrible.
And actually, you know, I went to the supermarket. There was so much food and meat. And I, you know, was just don't know what to buy. So I bought a cucumber,
yeah,
and tomato and banana and pineapple. That is we love them back in tropical. And then I remember a friend came over. We tried to eat it and was like a mud. And then we just look at it. We said we bought the wrong thing. It's not actually look like it, but.
This can't be a tomato.
No. And so, yeah, so that was a big shock. So we end up, we just buy a lot of, you know, lamb because we come from a very nomad people. So we love cattle. We're not meat eaters, but we eat lamb. And so we end up, every time we go to the shop, we buy a lamb.
Well, it sounds like some aspects of Australian culture, you've talked about how you add in the aspects of Australian culture to the culture that you carry with you, but some aspects were a big challenge for you, and I think our attitude to cows was one of them. What else?
Well, there's so much, you know, I could talk all day about it. And one thing that actually stood out for me was Australian culture. When I first arrived and I went to, I joined the church. And went to church, and there were a big older people, you know, 70s people. And then, so I was kind of, you know, shocked that no younger people go to church. And there is no music. People just sit. And then we go to a nursing home on a Saturday. And that was my big shock. Because I was so sad. Every time I go to the nursing home, I'd be crying. Absolutely sad. And I think I couldn't believe, because I didn't know the knowledge about people are busy, that I understand now you have to put people in nursing home because nobody have a time. But at the time, it was a shock for me that, you know, the people were full with wisdom. The people is our, they are our blessing. They, it is a part of the family. You don't have to isolate them. And that, it broke my heart. It is still now when I see older person across the road by themselves go shopping, I feel like I should go and help them. And then again, you know, you'd be scared because it's not what the culture is. And so that was my big shock. That was one of my big shock.
I think a lot of people here are starting to think we need to make some changes too. Ajak Kwai, you lived in Tasmania for a period and then you moved to Melbourne and you performed there. What was it like coming to Melbourne?
I had a double shock. Coming to Tasmania was, I thought it was a shock, but actually coming to Melbourne was shocking for me. And because the people, I'm not judging people, but, you know, I remember I went to Sydney before I came. We toured, we go to Sydney, and I was walking, and I just say, everyone, hi, and they look straight. Some say hello, some don't even look at me, and they say, hi, and that all I did, walking, and actually I felt sad. I said, people ignoring me today.
It's very different, isn't it, from a
yeah. So coming
place.
Coming to Melbourne was quite a bit challenging because there's so many people and people are, you know. And before, when I first came, the second one was people were very sad. I look people like they really sad.
So their faces looked sad when you walk down the street.
Yeah, and I was wondering. I said, why are people sad? You know, regarding of what we went through, we were very happy, you know, and I couldn't get it why. So that was, one thing I saw in Melbourne, you know, nobody talked to everyone. Just, and I was, as an observer, that what I saw. I might be wrong, but that, yeah.
I think it's really interesting to hear observations from someone who can see things with fresh eyes. You're listening to Life Matters. We're talking with Ajak Kwai, who migrated to Australia from South Sudan. And I'm wondering if you've done this, like Ajak, on your own. How did you adjust to an unfamiliar language or landscape and knowing how to read the body language even? Head to our Life Matters Facebook page and leave your comments there. Ajak, when you were tired or sad and dealing with all these new impressions and adjustments, how did you take care of yourself? What helped with that fatigue?
Well, that one thing, you know, that the one thing I struggled with, and actually when I went back to Tasmania, they said, what happened to you? You get old. Yeah, that what they said. Come back to Hobart, you know, the older people I knew. And, it's very interesting, you know, with their life of lifestyle. It's really very interesting. I don't think it's good for us. And I think I failed it because I didn't grow up with that culture, that running absolutely like a machine, you know. And so I feel it's a struggle. And I think my comfort is music. So when I feel that, and for a walk, go for a walk. And sometimes I go to Tasmania, go and have a bush walking with friends. And that is what helped. But I think people forget that lifestyle that we live in the modern society can kill people.
Well, and you talked before about coming in your 20s with this energy and this drive and making friends straight away. How hard is it over time to build and maintain a new network of social connections? Because that's quite different from just rocking up as a young person and making a new friend, isn't it?
Yeah. It was quite easy at the time. If it's now, I'd be just lonely and sad. It was easy because I have a positive attitude. I just see there is nothing, absolutely. I trust people. I just see the good thing that all, and actually it's not only African culture, but individual. You brought up in a different, you know, individual family's culture. And I was one of people brought up like that, see everything, you know, in a very positive way. And through all my music, I talk about, you know, all the songs that I've written is all about positive. So that helped me to connect with people. And I just didn't scare. I just go to people. And I actually I don't think I have a fear.
Has your music changed since you've been living in Australia?
Yeah, it changed. It changed because, you know, living in with a lot of people and, you know, influence on music, that it changed, yeah.
So in just a normal, organic, musical way, or has it been taking on influences from Australian culture, do you think?
Yeah, from Australian culture. And I still keep my roots, but you know, as we live as a, you know, community all together, you know, where we live, that is a home. And I think it's good to share stories, my stories with Australian people, because they don't really understand what I'm talking about. And to be able to put something they're familiar with. Yeah.
And Ajak Kwai, what advice would you give to someone who's doing what you did, coming to Australia alone for the first time and setting up a new life?
Well, it's what I would say, you know, give the, you know, to people working with settlement people, you know, educate people, tell them, you know, all about Australia. So it's not a shock. And what I would tell them, not a shock in a bad way, but in a good way, like, you know, but what I would say, education is more important, empowering yourself, educate yourself, you know, make a lot of effort for your children to be educated and do the right thing. It doesn't matter what people say, as you heard, in my community, we have been absolutely demonized. And it doesn't matter. If you do the right thing and be absolutely respectful for the law, that's all the matter.
Ajit Kaur, thank you so much for joining us on Life Matters today.
Thank you, Hilary. Thank you very much for having me.
Ajit Kaur is a singer-songwriter and broadcaster who migrated here from South Sudan. This is Life Matters on RN.